Hello, and welcome to the Faithbrook Church Messages Podcast. Whether you're exploring faith, new to faith, or actively following Jesus, we're so glad you're tuning in, and we hope that these weekly messages will encourage, challenge, and inspire you. Life is not meant to be done alone, and our hope is that these messages will lead you into a new and thriving life in Christ. Now let's listen to this message from our lead pastor, Jim Comfort.
In her book, Find Your People, Jenny Allen said this: in a world that's both more connected and more isolating than ever before, we're often tempted to do life alone, whether because we're so busy or because relationships might feel so risky or hard. Do you think Jenny Allen has a point? Do you think that's true? Is there a temptation to just kind of do life alone? Sure, we might be digitally connected, but are we connected socially? Are we connected spiritually? Well, that's why we're in this series called Your One. We've been talking about find your one, find your role, and today we're going to be talking about find your people. I'm going to welcome you today. Maybe you're watching online. I know many of you are encouraged and enthused for this season of the year. It's fall. Kids are back in school. There's football in the air, and we're kind of just like, yes, great weather. Let's go forward. I'm also excited about next week. It's going to be our kickoff, of course. We got bouncers and food and things like that. However, it's the start of a new series called Overwhelm. I believe that there's a lot of overwhelm in people's lives, whether stuff's happening on the world, the political frame, or just underneath, just life can be overwhelming. So does God care about that? Does the Bible have anything to say about our overwhelm in our life? So I want to encourage you to invite someone. In fact, this last week, I invited a couple of families. One was kind of new in our neighborhood, and I introduced myself and said, hey, if you're not doing anything next Sunday, here's a card, here's an invite. Love to have you. There's another guy I play basketball with. Hey, if you and your wife not doing anything, Sunday morning, September 15th, gave him an invite card. So we're looking forward to what God can do through this series about dealing with overwhelm. Well, this morning, it's about finding your people. According to social scientists, being part of a community of people are beneficial. In fact, science confirms that consistent, meaningful connection with others has a powerful impact on our overall well-being. They say it benefits us mentally, emotionally, and even physically. Some would say that especially in our older years, having community and connection reduces things like depression, anxiety, even heart disease, high blood pressure, and can even improve our cognitive functionality when we're in community, when we're with our people. What's amazing is that the social scientists have found that who are active in a community often, as they say, quote, have a better quality of life and report feeling much more fulfilled and happier. Are they trying to tell us something, these social scientists? Could it be that they're telling us that life can be better if we find our people? Well, would the Bible back this up? Would God endorse this, that we are better off, we have a better life when we find our people or are in community? Is community part of the fulfilling life or the abundant life Jesus was talking about in John 10:10? For I've come to give you life and give it to the full. What's remarkable, you always see God wanting us to be in community and finding our people. In fact, Jesus talked about making disciples, being a disciple. Jesus modeled finding people in community. We think about the Gospels for over 3 years. He invited some gentlemen to follow him. As many of you know, that he had 12 disciples. And for three years, he invested in these guys. He traveled with them. He ate with them. He taught them. They laughed together. They cried together. And the whole time, he has challenged them to care and love, that their life is more than just themselves. The life is, the true meaning of life is getting past ourselves and finding this relationship with the living God and expanding his kingdom and sharing his love with others. And he would give them mission. He would give them purpose. For example, he would tell them to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, that God's the center of your life. It's not all about you. He talked about loving others as to love them themselves. And before you know it, they were participating in what we called finding your one, that they would be out trying to invest in people. They would try to be a blessing to others, to befriend someone, to listen to them, to encourage them, to serve them, sincerely pray for them. Before you know it, there could be some influence. There could be maybe a conversation or a trust about really what's the meaning of life. Is there God, and that we all need a God, and there's an eternity waiting for us, and what is that going to look like? So a lot of this has to do what a Christian has a term we use for many years. It's called discipleship. The word disciple or discipleship has to do with being a student. It's having to be doing with a follower. You're really a learner if you are a disciple. And Jesus said, I want you to find your people. Or maybe 1, 2, 12, 15, to disciple and invest in others. I remember a challenge several years ago from a leader in our church movement, and he challenged us pastors, and he challenged lay people in the church with this question. Here's this question. Who is discipling you, and who are you discipling? Who is discipling you, and who are you discipling? In other words, who are you allowing in your life to speak into your life, build you, encourage you, maybe challenge you? Who are you being discipled by? Do you have that uplink, if you will? And at the same time, if you are a follower in Christ, you have a responsibility to disciple someone else, to be in community with someone else, to lift them up, to build them up and teach and care. And so who is your disciple and who are you discipling? It's part of the DNA of following Christ, to be in this community of picture, or community of Christ. I was encouraged by a movie that came out last couple of weeks. It's called The Forge Movie. And it really epitomizes this whole concept of finding your people, being impacted by your people, and discipleship. So it's about this young man. He's just graduated from high school, barely. His dad is not in the picture. He has a godly mom and a godly grandmother. And he doesn't care about Jesus or God. And he's just kind of wandering around, trying to find himself, trying to just to kind of fulfill his life with the world. And things are not going well. Meanwhile, his mom and his grandmother are just praying down heaven. And they're super frustrating with him because he doesn't want to listen to them. He don't need that religion thing. He can do life on his own. But he's mixed up. Things are not going well. And he gets this job at this local factory, this manufacturing plant. And the owner, who's on the left, is a Christ follower. And this owner has matured in his life, realizing that he needs a community. He's found his people, a group of men, that they have a Bible study together, and they're championing each other, and they kind of have a mentality of forging each other to be men of integrity, to be men of God, to be men of character. And so he kind of befriends this young man that's working in his factory, encouraging him. At first, the young man, he doesn't care. That's for you guys. I got it together. But there's been a lot of setbacks, a lot of disappointments in his life. And finally, this young man opens himself up to this mentor, if you will. And this mentor invites him to his community, his group of men, his people. And there they start getting to know this young man and speaking into him, discipling him, sharing about Christ. And finally he realizes, man, he needs Jesus. Finally he comes to that breaking point and invites Christ into his life. And then they start building him up and inspiring him. Before you know it, he is forged into this young man of God, a strong young man of character and love and Christ likeness. And so there's where the movie gets their their tone and their title of this forging, because it takes not just ourself, but it takes others around us to build into our life. Now, this is what the church and Christ followers were designed to do. We know that between Christ and the Holy Spirit, they gave birth to what we call the church, the ecclesia, the movement of God's people, a movement of God's people to display God's love and to redeem a broken world. We talked about finding your role last week, about, hey, if God's plan is to help this broken world, and there's hurting out there, there is strife and conflict and depression and death and problems, and Christ is calling us who claim to be Christians to be this movement, to display God's love, and also to find our place for this broken world. We looked at Romans 12, where the Apostle Paul says, hey, you Christians in Rome down there, I know you're a minority. I know it can be tough, but I want you to come together. I want you to see yourself, as he equated it, as a human body, that we might have different parts of the human body. We got eyeballs, thumbs, knees, toes. They're all important, but we are all connected. We need each other. So he writes it this way in Romans 12, verse 4. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. Talked about the different gifts and roles. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Not only do we have our roles, and many of you signed up to look at some ways you could volunteer in the community, especially here in the church, as we try to redeem our broken world right here. Thank you very much. But he talks about that we need to be connected, that there is an obligation almost, that we belong to each other. This is the love of God. We're just not independent contractors out there for Jesus, but we are a unit working together. Now, you'll see this reference throughout the Bible, especially in the New Testament. You see, I always say that Christianity is a team sport. We have to have other people around us. We have to find our people. God knew life would be hard. God knew that to grow our faith would be hard, because the majority of people are not trying to grow their Christian faith. So we got to find our people. Now, I'm going to pick on a place in the book of Hebrews that talks about the importance of finding our people and staying with our people. So Hebrews is kind of a unique book. It's probably the only New Testament book that we don't know exactly who the writer is, but we definitely know who it is targeted to, and that is the Hebrew Jewish people. So these people in the first century, sprinkled around the Gentile people, the Mediterranean, they have converted from Judaism to Christianity. And frankly, they're a lot of times they're a minority. They're not sure where they kind of fit in. And they find themselves sometimes wavering. And so the writer of Hebrews writes this letter to them to say, hey, man, don't give up. Keep persevering. Endure. Don't let go of your faith. And we see this show up in chapter 10 of Hebrews when he says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he whose promise is faithful. So apparently there's some correspondence going on that says, hey, some people are wavering. People are kind of just waning, fading out from the Christianity. He says, man, let's hold fast to confession of our hope. Well, what is the hope? What are we confessing here? What is the hope? Well, he's referring to Jesus Christ. He is our hope. He's the guy that said, I am God. I am the Son of God. I'm incarnated myself from a virgin woman and eventually grew to be a man and hung on the cross for the salvation of society. That if anyone would believe in me, if anyone would come to that point of repentance and by faith invite me in to cleanse their life, to get a new start from the inside out, I would do that. And he backed that up by going into the grave for 3 days and raising himself from the dead. No one has ever done that in world history. A lot of religions, a lot of big talkers, a lot of traditions out there. But there's only one that says, I will prove it by raising myself. That is the hope. That's the confession. So he says, let's grip, get a hold of that thing and not waver from it. For this guy, he, Jesus, who promised is faithful. So Jesus is in the long game, not just this month, not just this weekend. For in your life, he is in the long game. He will be faithful even all the way through eternity that never ends. So here's this writer. Let us hold fast to this confession of our hope. Now he goes on. And he says this, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting the meet together, as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as we see the day drawing near. Now, let's just kind of take this apart a little bit. Let us consider how to stir up one another in love and in good works. So I would submit to you that a lot of times it's not always easy to love and do good works. There's a part of our nature that kind of defaults to be kind of selfish. A lot of people are not very lovable, so we just like, I don't want to love people. I don't want to love God. I just want to sit on my couch, do my thing, be entertained, be comfortable. And so it's just very easy not to love God and not to love other people. Sometimes it's not very easy to do good works. That might cost us something. We have to sacrifice something. And so we're just like, not really. And so this writer says, man, how can we stir up one another? The phrase stir up has to do with motivating, has to do with encouraging, okay? We know that maybe we don't really want to in our flesh, but with God's help and with each other, let's get after it. Let's encourage each other to love God, love other people, and do some good things for him. And he continues on. He says, hey, let's not neglect meeting together. So apparently, there must have been some Christians that used to meet together, but now they're gotten in the habit of not meeting together. Now, this is common, is it not? You might know some people that used to attend church or might used to be in a small group, but not anymore. Life gets busy. We got our own thing going on, and we forget meeting together. But the writer says, man, if we're going to prevail, if we're going to continue to love God and to love others, then we have to not neglect meeting together. It's so important. And sometimes it's hard to meet together. Our schedules are so busy. Sometimes there can be people that let us down. Well, we tried that, but nobody called me. Nobody's there for me. Sometimes there can be some what we call EGR people. That stands for extra grace required, right? There can be some people in the church or in our groups that, you know, they're kind of odd or they're draining or something. And so we just don't just like, I don't want to hang out with them. No, God calls us to love these people. You might be the one. I might be the one, right? And it takes some extra grace to tolerate people, to lean into people, to care for people. This is the kind of the definition of true, authentic Christianity. We don't give up on people. We extend grace, maybe some extra grace, and love them and stay in community with them. Now, he also says, but encouraging one another. We all need to be encouraged. So who is encouraging you? Who are you encouraging? And all the more as we see the day drawing near. Now, what is he referencing there? He's referencing the return of Christ. If the Bible's true, the Bible says that Christ is coming back for his followers. Now, if we see what's happening in our globe, in our world, we see that things are lining up for his soon return, especially in the Middle East. Christ is returning. Are we ready? Are we having other people around us and our people that are encouraging us to stay strong and not to waver and stay consistent? And if we participate in meeting together with our people, then you will find when you find your people, you will get spiritually stronger. It's that spiritual growth effect that if other people are growing, then I will grow and our spirit starts growing stronger when we find our people. I like that analogy of the campfire kind of deal with the logs. You've done that before. You throw some logs on the fire, and the next thing you know, it starts getting bigger. It's robust. And, man, there's heat, and there's light, and there's energy coming from that fire. But if you take one of those logs and set it aside, can it stay burning? Can it stay aflame? Yes, for a while. But eventually, it will lose energy on its own. Eventually, it'll just be kind of smoking and dying out. My friends, I've been pastoring a few years now, and I've seen people who say, you know, Jim, I got it, I'm by myself. I'm still a believer in Jesus, but I'm going to do my own thing. And they pull away, and pretty soon it's so easy just to lose energy. It's so easy just to kind of get unmotivated to do the right things for Christ. And just before you know it, they can just fade out of Christ altogether. That's why Jesus and this writer and others said, we got to find our people. We got to stay involved to stir one another on. Paul said to Timothy, fan into flame the gift that God has given to you. And a lot of times when we find our people, we will grow stronger. That's why building community and what we call around here life groups is so important to Faithbrook. We do four main things, and one of them is try to group people into life groups, because in the life groups, most times it's in living rooms. This is where we grow spiritually. Now, can discipleship happen on Sunday mornings? Yes. Hopefully I'm influencing. Hopefully there's some inspiration. Absolutely. But Jesus also had some larger crowds. But he says, you know, where it really is going to happen is when we circle up, when we start talking to each other. And then when we get in a smaller group and we can discuss things, this is where we start growing spiritually. So we know this. It's a Jesus model. And so here at Faithbrook, we encourage everybody to find their people in a life group. And in our life groups, we try to do three practices. One is to have some laughter, because life can be hard. Amen. Life can be intense. And laughter is life-giving. And so we want people to have a great time. We want people to bring some snacks. We want people to tell some jokes. We want people to tease each other, because maybe at school, maybe at work, maybe in situations, man, it's rough and harsh out there. But when we come to us together in a safe place and people are smiling, checking in on each other, sharing something funny that happened, people are giggling, people are yucking it up, and it is so replenishing to our soul, because life is hard. Now, the second thing that is in our life group, we try the people to learn. This is where we start learning the scriptures of God. All right, so let's open up our Bibles, or many times we'll play a Bible teacher. Excellent teacher that will go through a subject topic. Many of our groups have gone through books of the Bible. Let's take, for instance, James or an Old Testament or someplace, and just kind of decipher through that. And there we're discussing, well, what did you learn? What do you think of this, right? And how does that apply to your life? And before you know it, you're hearing from other people, not just a preacher voice, from other people that's like, you know, I struggle with that. And that's a weak point in my life, and I'm trying to do better. Or someone says, yeah, I did that the other day at work. And before you know it, man, you're encouraged. You're like, wow, that inspired me. And if they can do it, I can do it. And you become friends. And before you know, you're stirring one another up into these good works and the love of God. And then the third thing is that we want our life groups to be loving. To care for one another. Maybe we can't care for everybody in our community or even our church, but hopefully our life group people, we really lean into care and love for them. Something that's very common in life groups I've been a part is what we do, a check-in. Okay, so we'll go around. Everybody's had a busy week. Most groups, life groups, meet every 2 weeks. And so we'll do a check-in. How's life? What's the best thing that's happened? What's happened in your life? And so people are going around, you know, we were on vacation and this and this and that. And then once in a while, someone will say, man, it's been a tough week. Well, what's going on? Well, just how I'm out, my cousin has cancer, or my parents are dealing with something, or there's layoffs happening at work. And right there's a time to just kind of slow down and care for people. There's been times where people had something super heavy. They didn't know who else to share, but they felt that they were accepted in their life group. They could trust these people. And right there, like, man, things are not going well. There's been a death in our family, or something's happening with my kids, and I'm not sure what to do. And there's been some times where people just rally around and say, let's stop what we're doing. Let's just pray for this person. Let's pray for this need. And if you ask people, say, hey, how much Bible knowledge did you learn? They say, but I don't know. I can't remember too much of that, but I do remember when people asked about the situations happening in my family, when people prayed for me when my lowest darkest times. That's the love of God that Jesus talks about, that people will know us by the love for each other, because we have all been meant to know, been known, and to be loved. So again, who are you allowing to speak into your life to love you? And then are you willing to love other people and bless them? And before you know it, if you engage in this life group, if you engage in a community, finding your people, and when you find your people, you will get spiritually stronger, but also relationally richer. Relationally richer. Man, I could testify that I needed to be around other people. Sometimes I just, between my family and just my closest friends, but when I expand my horizon of different diversities, different cultures, different ideas, it makes me a richer person. And so in these life groups, some people will say, well, the way I was raised, or I went through this and we lost a child, or I had cancer, or I got fired, or something like that. And all of a sudden you're learning people's stories and you're appreciating people and you start gleaning things and learning things. And you become richer and you're leaving that life group and you're like, man, that was good. I had no idea. You know, I'm going to try to be a better Christian, a better follower. And I appreciate these people so much better because we were in community together and to go forward. Does it take some effort? Yes, it does. Does it take putting it on your calendar? Yes, it does. But there is a blessing that we are richer relationally and we are stronger spiritually. I've asked a couple of people who've been in a life group to come forward and just share their personal accounts of what they benefited from a life group. So if they would pop up here real quick. They could give you a little insight of what they have experienced in one of Faithbrook's life groups. Here's Stephen and Lisa Hitzman. Stephen and Lisa has been willing to open up their home and share life groups and host a little bit. So you've been doing this for a while. What are some of the personal benefits that you guys have gained from life groups?
So we started probably 6-7 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
We initially resisted, to be honest, because by definition, small groups are small.
Yeah. Scary.
Yeah, and you know, even though Lisa and I are up here on a fairly regular basis, people think that we're extroverts. Are you an extrovert?
No.
Yeah. Do you want to say that to the microphone?
No.
Yeah. And I kind of straddle the line. So the Hamiltons were very persuasive. They're great. They're really good recruiters at Life Group. And we went there, and the small actually was the good thing about this, because you meet people on a regular basis, and it's a few people, and you go in thinking, what if I say something dumb or ask a stupid question? Well, as soon as you get to know these people, you find out, okay, I can just be me. I can ask what I think is a dumb question, or say something maybe that isn't quite right, and you've got your friends around you, and these people have become, you know, friends. And so what you said, there's a safe place to celebrate victories. It's a safe place when there's something bad going on in your life to have people kind of gather around you and take care of you. And you sometimes have to cut us off at the laughter part.
We do need to look at the Bible. Yes.
Do the learning. Right. We have to do that. So that's what our life group has become, and just keep inviting people in. And
yeah. Lisa, would you like to share anything? What you've benefited
like
from
she'd
it?
She'd like to share the microphone with Bob.
Okay.
We'll give it to Bob.
Well, if you're not in a life group, that was Ruthie and I a year ago, right in this place. And when we joined the life group, we were a little scared too.
I wasn't scared.
He was scared.
But we found it to be safe and welcoming and warm and easy. And it was a perfect way for us. And we had been coming to church for 2 years here, but we didn't know very many people. We were the kind of people that walked in the door at 10 o'clock and walked out as soon as the service was over. And through the life group, we got to meet new friends. We got to love and learn and laugh. It was very comfortable, and we grew closer to each other. We grew closer to the people in our life group, and we grew closer to the Lord. So that was our experience.
Amen. Great, great. Perfect. Did you get any fatter? All the snacks? Did we get any fatter? No, good. All right. Healthy snacks. Very good. Well, thank you. Why don't you just appreciate them, show your appreciation. All right, so I want to invite you to think about joining a life group. If you're not part of a life group, they're starting in a couple weeks. Here on the screen is kind of our menu. We have about 10 different life groups. Some of them host children. They have some basements. Some of them don't do children. Most of them meet every other week. Some meet a lot of weeks. We have Pastor Peggy down here at the life group. We're calling it the Young at Heart, so some more mature people hang out there. On Wednesdays, they meet at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock here at the church. They also have some other activities during the week. So they're kind of sprinkled in different territories around the church. Some meet on Sunday night, some are Wednesday night, Friday night, et cetera. So I'd like for you to think about, look into some of these life groups. The way you can get connected is you can download the church app on your phone. If you download the church app, you pick Faithbrook as your local church through the church app. And then it has a lot of tools there. One of them is groups. And you hit that button on your church app, and your group that you signed up, the names and some of their profile faces will show up, and you get to know the people through your church app. Also, you can go to our website, faithbrook.church, and you go to the next steps, and that menu drops down, join a life group. And this will pop up for you, and there you can just kind of peruse and look, when are they meeting, and what is their curriculum that they're going to be studying and viewing, do they have kids, host kids or not, that kind of thing, and you can go forward in that way. So life groups are very beneficial. I'm thinking about a family that was in our church in a life group. So they had some hard times this last year. This person got laid off, and if you've ever been laid off before, it's not easy to find another job. They had kids and situations and trying to deal with that, and then some sickness came into their family, pretty heavy sickness, and the life group heard about this, and so the life group just rallied around this family to encourage them as they journey to try to reset in a new job, deal with this sickness, and that life group just showed a love of Christ. Some of them sent some meals over. Some were sending some texts over and calls. How you doing? We're for you. And a lot of prayer. In fact, someone in that life group says, man, we got some extra money. And they wrote out a very generous check for this family just to know that, hey, there's some financial burdens. My friends, this is the love of Christ. This is the movement that Jesus and the Holy Spirit started 2,000 years ago, that the people of Jesus would be real, and that there would be love, there would be joy, there would be growth in their life, and just to share the goodness of God. And before you know it, you realize that when you find your people, you get spiritually strong and relationally richer. Maybe that's why Jenny Allen wrote that book, Find Your People. She knew the value of finding community and grouping up. So why don't we pray that we would think about that and find someone and a group of people we can invest in, and they could invest in us. Why don't we stand? I'll close this out. Gracious God, you built us to be in community. Some of us are extroverts. Some of us are introverts. All of us are busy. But we need each other. We need friends. We need people that help stir us on, to motivate us to love you, love others, and do some good works in your name. So I pray that our life groups that start in a couple weeks, God, that they would fill up, people would take a risk just like we heard today, that they would be loved and welcomed, and to go forward to build their spiritual life and also just be richer socially and even emotionally. Help us now to go. We'll give you the praise. We look forward to next Sunday's kickoff in the new series. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Thank you for viewing. Thank you for worshiping. You're dismissed.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Faithbrook Church Messages Podcast. If you're newer here at Faithbrook, we'd love the opportunity to connect with you and hear your story. To connect beyond listening today, we'd love for you to join us in person or if you would please go to faithbrook.church/connect. Fill out that form and one of our staff will reach out to you soon. God bless and have a great day.